Hey, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. It's me, Adam Hunter. I'm here with T-Rex.
What's up?
Jake is in Vegas right now, still recovering from his fight.
He'll be back.
He'll be back here next week. Can't wait to talk to him about that. It's been a good week, man. It's been a good week for me, for you,
yeah.
For life. It was my birthday last week, last Tuesday. So here's what happened. I do a show at the Comedy Store. It's the Urban Show.
Is that, oh, God. Is on Tuesday?
Yeah.
Right. No Tip Tuesday is what they
call it. That's what they call it, No Tip Tuesday. So I go on and I'm excited. You know, and it's one of those things where like I'm having a good set, but I can tell that I'm getting judged a little bit, maybe for being white. But things are going well, and then I call these like four ladies the Real Housewives of Compton, and right. And then the crowd went ballistic. That was like once I said that they like right. You know, it was one of those. The show went really well. I was happy nice. With it. Then after that, it was crazy. So I go on. I'm done, and then you remember Keenan and Kel.
Yeah.
So Kel is now doing comedy, all right. He's been doing comedy, so he goes on after me.
Yeah.
And then
how did he do?
He did all right, and then Kevin Hart went on after that.
Nice.
Did like an hour and a half, and then after that,
Cat Williams went up and did 2 hours.
That's after. You know, the guy from Columbus Short went on. He's a guy from Scandal and Stomp the Yard. He's like got thrown off Scandal for like, I don't know, some kind of issues with the law. He's on TMZ. And then Dave Chappelle goes on.
Yeah.
After that, there's like 3 hours. And then Cat Williams went on to close the show. It was a great birthday. I like just got back 5 minutes ago, actually. But it was awesome. It was a great birthday. That was cool. And then I had shows. I got this new job. I'm doing 9 to 5 where I just write jokes about every
working
sport.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living.
I don't know how you guys do it. I haven't got up before noon in the past years. And it's good, though. I love this new job. I really do. The hard part is just getting up and driving an hour and a half to work.
Jesus.
Because last week I was in Santa Barbara, which is not the place you wanted to be last week because of the whole – I was like 5 minutes from the whole shooting. Was that
where were you performing out there with Andre?
Yeah, Andre, and then like 5 minutes away, that whole Santa Barbara shooting happened where the guy right. it was nuts. So that was insane. Sorry to all the people who it was just a crazy place to be. You know, doing.
So you were there when that was going on?
Yeah.
And was it like mayhem?
No, well, I was about 5 minutes away, so I wasn't. I didn't see it, but it was like I was in the same. I was 5 minutes away,
right?
You know, so that was crazy. And then but the shows. Let's get back to on a brighter note. The I had a show at the Parlor last night. It was Memorial Day, and you know, it's like the worst type of do comedy is like after a 3-day holiday because there was only like 15 people in the crowd, and I'm like, wow, you guys are honoring all the comics that have died tonight on stage. Which was pretty fun. It was fun. It was actually, you know what? Funny story. I did a show on Sunday night, and there was this hot girl with one arm, and it's not like on my bucket list of hooking up with girls with one arm, but this one girl had one, and I was talking to her after the show, and I wanted to ask her how she lost her arm, but I couldn't figure out a way to work that into conversation.
Did she say it was a tragic slot machine accident?
No, she didn't say that. But thank you for offering that. No, but I mean, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to be nice to this person because she has one arm. Like, I really wanted to hit it. And you know that she probably gives the best head because she, you know, she can only use one head. I don't know. I'm just saying that, like,
it's kind of gross, though, if you think about it. I mean, like, not saying that one arm people are gross, but you think about, like, she does everything with that one hand.
That's hot to me.
Everything.
That's a busy worker right there.
that hand has been more places
than. You can't finish the joke.
Then the other hand.
Yeah, then the other hand. Yeah, so that was, I don't know. That was, I don't know. I wanted to get her number. I actually did get her number. I put it in the phone myself. No, I'm not gonna make cheap one-arm jokes, but I'm just saying that this girl was smoking hot. And then I had a show. Last night, I see Gallagher. Gallagher, the comedic
the dude that
legend,
used to smash fruit.
Yeah,
with
he
giant
smashed watermelons. So I show up to the Parlor to do comedy, and Gallagher's like, "Hey man, do you have any weed?" Right? Somebody wanted me, and I was like, "I actually do have weed." So I go to my car to get. I had to get Gallagher's high with Gallagher, right?
Right.
So I go to the car to get. Thing, and then he's like, "Hey, do you have anything to like smoke out of?" And I wanted to be like, "Well, can't you make a bong out of a watermelon?" I wanted to say that so badly, but I didn't.
You should have.
No, I know. I didn't know how he would take it. But I actually didn't think about it until I was leaving, but. So yeah, that was my week. Lots of shows and there was this girl that so there was this girl who used to do porn that I was hanging out with, she was an adult film star. This is a couple, about a month ago. I wanted to tell this story. That was kind of a funny story. So then we were hanging out, and then she told me that she was an escort now, right? And I was like, kind of grossed out by this. And she's like, well, you met me when I was a porn star. And then I was like, yeah, I guess, but now there's no camera involved. You know, just sort of, right. That was kind of a funny. I take that part out. The escorts, leave that in. I don't know. I thought it was interesting. Don't take it out. I don't know. I don't know what the hell this thing. So anyway, how was your week?
I was good, man. I just had a bunch of shows also at Flappers in Burbank, and the turnouts were great, and the response was great, and yeah, man. And then we just stayed at the house and invited some friends over yesterday, and they just got in the pool with the kids and everything, and
nice.
Barbecued and all that stuff, because, you know, black people barbecue.
I didn't know you guys swim, but it's good that you guys barbecue. That's great. Good yeah. for you.
So that was amazing. We had a nice, my wife makes the best mojitos in the world, so I just ended up getting trashed off mojitos and watching my kids swim.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Hey, I was thinking... So, you know, I watch a lot of MMA, obviously, this MMA podcast. And then I was thinking, I was writing down a list of ways to know that you watch too much MMA. And I wrote them down, and I'm going to read them for you guys.
All right.
And for you. All right. You know you watch too much MMA when your girlfriend spreads her legs and you pass her guard. That's number one. You know you watch too much MMA when after sex you call out Conor McGregor. Not bad, right? You know you watch too much MMA when your girlfriend wants to hump on the ground and you want to keep it standing. You know you watch too much MMA when you start referring to your side chick as Bellator.
That's kind of funny.
They're all kind of funny. Shut up. You're supposed to be laughing at this. And that, all right. You know you watch too much MMA when you're hitting a doggy style, but you stop when she puts one hand on the ground. Not bad. Not bad, right?
Right.
You know you watch too much MMA when you're watching porn and you yell, stand him up. You know you watch too much mixed martial
DJ's
arts.
DJ's face.
You know you watch too much MMA when your girl goes up 3 weight classes and you call her Anthony Johnson.
That's funny.
You know you watch too much MMA when you know that you're never going to have a fight, but you have at least 7 songs that you walked out to. Right? I do that. I think about what songs would I walk
really?
Out to. Yeah, absolutely. You know you watch too much MMA when after sex you thank your sponsors. That's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, I guess I should lean forward so people can hear me laughing.
Thank you. There you go. Fuck you. These are good jokes. And I'm going to keep doing them because hopefully people on the other side of the thing are laughing. But you don't have to. I don't need your approval, T-Rex, okay? You know you watch too much MMA when before you go bang a chick, you offer to touch gloves. Booyah! You know you watch too much MMA when you're banging a chick on the border, but don't let her grab the fence. Creative. I like it.
Look at DJ's face.
I don't care what DJ's face. I don't want to look at DJ's face. All right, you know you watch too much MMA when you're hitting it missionary style and can hear Dana White yell boring. Yes,
boring.
So that is my list. People, if you have your own list, tweet them to us at MMA Roasting.
That'd be kind of interesting. That would be interesting to see what people think and to see what they would say.
Yes, exactly. Let me hear your list, Mr. Fucking Jokester.
Well, I have to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and do them like you do.
You have no list.
I don't.
All right. You have your. I like my list. I am very proud of my
DJ
list.
Said thank
I know because DJ's a bitter editor. All right. So whatever he does, bitter producer guy, judging me. Listen, I like my list. The fans like the list. I don't care if.
Did you test that on the fans?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I test it all the time. The fans like the list because one of us promotes. See, that's the thing with this MMA Roasted podcast is T-Rex the one going up on all the websites and on Sherdog and in the Underground and pushing it? Is he the one tagging everybody?
Nope.
Nope. I am. Okay. Me. I'm the one doing all that stuff. Me. So therefore,
your paycheck looks a lot better than mine too.
Yeah.
Though, so.
Okay. Paycheck, and so does my lack of sleep preparing and booking the guests and writing out the podcast and filling in for you when you don't show up for 2 weeks. Okay,
that hasn't happened in like 6 months.
No, 6 months. I think it's like 4 weeks actually. And then getting
DJ,
and then,
I might
and then
need you to back
getting,
me up
getting
on
yelled
this.
At for you being late. All right, so therefore, we'll talk about the paychecks. And plus, I'm the one with the right text from last fight, which takes me the most time. You just show up and we talk. You don't even open the damn thing that I send you half the time. So all right.
This is Adam's vent hour.
Working a 9-to-5 job does not look good on you right now.
No, not at all.
He's getting serious.
Thanks, DJ. I appreciate your. All right. So anyway, we have Ali Abdelaziz calling in. We have a great show. We have Ali Abdelaziz.
Yay.
We have Dustin Poirier.
Yeah, yeah.
We have Elias. How do I say his last name?
Theodore.
Elias Theodore is on the show. I don't want to butcher his last name. I butcher everyone's last name. So first, Ali actually DM'd me. He's got some stuff he wants to talk about as far as the Bellator pay-per-view, his thoughts on that, the World Series of Fighting upcoming event. They have big news. They're on NBC now, and a couple other things. So we can't wait to talk to him about this. All right, so our first guest is he's the matchmaker. He's a world-class judo player. He's one of the coaches on The Ultimate Fighter for Team Edgar. He's an overall nice guy, badass dude. Ali Abdelaziz, how are you, man?
Hey, thank you, my brother. Thanks for having me on your show.
Thank you, man. Thank you. So what's going on? A lot of things. You know, first of all, congrats on the new deal with NBC. Congratulations on that. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, we're very excited about this new NBC deal. You know, you couldn't find a bigger or better partner than NBC. They put a lot of work behind us, and they believe in us who nobody are did. You know, a lot of guys down there I want to sing thanks to. Gary Quinn, the VP down there, and a whole bunch of other guys working really, really hard to make this deal happen. And we now officially the baddest and the biggest promotion on the planet.
I mean, other than the UFC, correct?
Correct. You know, the UFC has been around for 20 years, man. But right now, nobody can deny us. You know, we the second biggest and baddest out there. We on regular TV. Everybody in America, they don't have to have a cable. They don't have to have anything. They can open Channel 5 or Channel 4, whatever it is where you at, and you're going to see NBC Live.
Right. You're killing it. Now I got to ask you. I know you're really good friends with Renzo Gracie, and he got arrested for getting into a brawl last week with a bouncer. Were you there? Do you know what happened?
No, I wasn't there, and you know, I wish I was there. I wasn't there, unfortunately. And you know, Renzo guy, he promotes no violence. He's probably the calmest guy you ever meet in your life. You know. But the situation was, this nightclub is very famous as a bouncer bullying people and, you know, beating up guys, and they even beating up girls, and Renzo were there, and, you know, and they tried to bully the guys, and all they had to do was just, you know, they said, listen, don't bully us, and the situation escalated. And now, you can never, if you ever met Renzo Gracie or talk to him, you cannot met anybody nicer. Then him and Igor Gracie and Gregor Gracie and all those guys' names involved. You cannot find better people than these guys. Even, you know, Andre Guzman was there. He was breaking up the fight. They arrested him also, you know. I think it was crazy because they well-known guys in New York, and especially Renzo, and they arrested everyone to make a big news, you know. But it was wrong for them even to be arrested.
Yeah, I mean, the last thing I'd want to do is pick a fight with Renzo Gracie or any of those guys. That's probably...
No, but this is a different guy. This is a very well-mannered, very humble, amazing guy. You know, you just got to be around him to understand, you know, especially him, the side of the family. Just that people I experience living with a day-to-day life. You cannot find better, nicer people, guys like Igor Gracie and Gregor Gracie and Leo and Andre Guzman. This is really nice guys. You know, it doesn't mean they do sports and they train jiu-jitsu, but they're the nicest guys you ever meet.
Now, is it true that Eddie Bravo is now training the bouncer?
No, that was a good one. No. Hanzo like Eddie Bravo. Hanzo like him.
I know. I'm just kidding. It was a joke. Now I made a lot of jokes about the Bellator pay-per-view, and you seem to like these jokes. What were your thoughts on the whole Bellator pay-per-view?
I need my money back because I bought the pay-per-view and I started watching. They have so much filler, I fall asleep. and I wake up after it finished, but, you know, I need my money back. But I watched Chandler and other...
Will Brooks.
Will Brooks fight. I think that was an amazing fight.
Yeah.
But all other fight on there, this just didn't make sense.
But what did you think about the whole Rampage King Mo or the Tito versus Flamenco?
It's a freak show. That's a freak show. You know. And sometimes it's all right to put on a freak show, but, you know, I thought making more won.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I know. The whole crazy part was when King Mo called Bjorn Rebney a dick-licking ass or something, or
dick-riding.
A dick-riding ass, and Bjorn just stood there. I mean, could you imagine if anyone would have called Ray Sefo a dick-riding ass in the after?
Probably Ray kicked him, and I probably double-licked him right after.
Yeah, that would not go well at all.
It's a fight, man. It's a fight, you know, like, I don't care, you know, I got to be professional, got to do this, but certain men, especially calling you kind of names, like, you know, but, you know, that Bijana guy, like, you know, like, he's not a guy, like, have pride or, oh, he's not going to be insulted his manhood. He's just, you know, some dude, you know, try to make some money off the fighters, and he's going to take that shit, you know. But personally, if a fighter called me that, at least got to defend myself, you know, say something to him, but I'm not just going to swallow it and I say he's a nice guy and he's this, but, you know, he deserved it because he did promote Rampage. He did promote King Mo, and I think it was unfair, and equally unfair.
That's crazy.
Sometimes you're going to be favor a guy a little bit, but not like that. That was so ridiculous.
That's crazy. He's a dick-riding ass and a ass swallower. So, Now I gotta say, now you guys are doing great. You signed Jake Shields, you signed Melvin Gallard. Now what happened? Jake Shields was supposed to fight John Fitch, but Shields got hurt.
And we signed Matt Hamill, we signed Simon, and after that Bellator signed Soka Juke.
Oh wow! Yeah, right.
But yeah, we keep signing the best talent, and like I said, it's very easy for me to find talent and sign with us. We have a good reputation. We treat guys good. And Jake Shields just got hurt, you know. Name of the game, guys get hurt. And we have a good enough roster at 170. Put Berkman vs. Fitch 3. It's going to be the co-main event July 5th on NBC.
Nice. Berkman's a badass. That's a good fight, Berkman and Fitch. It's going to be a great fight. Now I know you were on The Ultimate Fighter last week. You're one of the coaches. You were there. Well, that was one of the weirdest episodes I've seen in my life, where Mazzagatti took a point away for and what he thought was an illegal elbow, 12 elbow, and then the judges gave it to that guy anyway, which made no sense. What are your thoughts on that whole thing?
I think Mazzagatti did the right thing. I kind of disagree with Danielson because Mazzagatti did warn him 3 times during the fight. He didn't stop the fight because he was in a dominant position, but he warned him 3 times, and it's, I think the judges, you know, some of the judges fall asleep during the fight. You know, what do you expect? Some of these dudes, like, 80 years old, you know, they take some old timers, you know, but I think now this problem is going to be fixed. A lot of the fighters, you see Ricardo Almeida become a judge, and I think, you know, this sport is too young, and it's going to grow, and I think things are going to be better.
I hope so. I mean, because that was like absurd. I mean, I kind of agree. He was elbowing him a lot in the back of the head to the point where you could actually see the blood in the back of his head, which was in the back of his head. I mean, you could see where it was opening
up. He got stitches right on the illegal area, not the head.
Yeah, but how the hell did he still win the fight? How did he still win the fight after doing that?
It makes no sense.
I think lack of knowledge. I think of lack of, you know, not paying attention. They don't study. They don't do seminars. They don't. You know, they're not educating just judges. They allowed to just come from boxing, and they don't really understand MMA.
Now, Ali, how hard is it for you to be a promoter? Because it seems like a lot. It seems like it's a. I mean, you're a matchmaker and a promoter, but it seems like it's a no-win situation with you because fighters are always seem to get upset because they want to get more fights. They don't like who they're fighting. They want to get more money. I mean, how stressful is it for you to do what you do?
Man, I love my job. Like, I really, a lot of times, you know, I understand the fighter really well because I've been there. I competed myself. I fought myself. I don't blame any fighter if I want to get more fights and no money. That's what they're supposed to do. And, you know, and this is, you know, me and Josh Berkman, we have got into it. And after that, I did his new contract. He signed multi-part deal with us. And I think he's one of the best guys we have. You know, this is how men should do things. You know, they can talk about it, they can be loud about it, but we're not going to go to court and sue people. Personally, I'm not there, so I'm not really involved in things like that. But and you have people know about it, and this is how people respect each other. And now me and Josh personally talk. It's a lot of respect, mutual respect between him, because we spoke our minds each other. And, you know, he put me in my place, I put him in his place. But at the end of the day, I think he's one of the best 170 pounder in the world, and I think he's one of the best guys we have at World Series of Fighting. And now him and Josh Fitch will fight, and the winner will get that also. I have nothing but love for this kid. I think he's one of the pioneers, and he helped us so much, and he helped his career so much. And I'm happy. I'm very happy for the fighter we have. It's always going to be a problem. It's always going to be this one fighter. It's always going to be this one manager. It's always going to be this one promoter. Nobody's perfect. Everybody makes a mistake. But I think the best part of it, you learn from your mistake and treat people the way you want to be treated.
Now, I heard a final question. I heard a rumor that you were in the Thunder from Down Under. Is there any truth to that? I heard there was a rumor going around that you were a Chippendale. Is that true?
No, I was in the I was in the tryout, but I got rejected.
Oh, come on!
I'm joking. No, man, it's a pitcher, man. I did a little bit of modeling, and I think a pitcher was flown out there, and people started saying that. But it was nothing big, fun sport. But you know that.
All right.
It was fun.
So okay, so you weren't really a Chippendale.
Hell no. That would never happen.
That's the word on the street. All right, so where can people find you? What do you have to promote? Give us your plug right here.
Listen, June 21st, World Series of Fighting Team live on NBC Sports. We have three title fights. David Branch, Jesse Taylor, Jessica Aguilar, Majumi, Serge Garcon, Rick Lynn. Three title fights for free live on NBC Sports. July 5th, live on Big NBC, I'll give you on NBC. Justin Gaethje and Nick Newell, like you see that we talk shit to each other on Twitter. Berkman versus Fitch. KZ Cavalcanti versus Melvin Gallard.
Wow.
Can't get better than that. We are growing so fast. And
that's great.
We are growing so fast and we can be happier. You know, we have great fighters. We have the best television and the biggest, the baddest television partner on the planet, the NBC family, the biggest than anybody. You know, even listen, I know the UFC is the biggest company out there, but I think NBC is a lot bigger than the media company out there. They're the biggest and the baddest on the planet.
Cool. Well, thank you. Thanks for coming on the show. We'd love to have you anytime, man. And keep up the great work.
Ali.
The best broadcast alive. You guys are the best, and I'm honored to be on your show. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Ali. Take care, brother. All right. Well, that was Ali Abdulaziz. Good guy, good promoter, good fighter, good trainer, good everything.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's super strong, too.
Oh, my God.
Like he's ripped up. You know, they have the Decagon in the office at the World Series of Fighting on Dean Martin Drive. It's attached to the same building where Vanderlei Silva's gym is, so it's the same building, basically. But they have the Decagon in the office, and he's in there. Like, when everybody says, all right, we're going home, he gets in there, he puts on his gear, and he has trainers come in, and they roll.
Damn.
All the time. Like, the dude, like, he'll take a lunch break, and he'll just go in there and roll with somebody for an hour.
I don't have that in my office. All right, so we got Dustin Poirier, the number 6-ranked fighter in the world, 145, badass fighter from Louisiana. How are you, man?
All right, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I was up late last night watching all your fights. It was a pleasure to watch. Holy shit,
Thanks, you've
had some amazing battles. Amazing battles, man. A lot of times I have to sit through people's fights, and I like all the fights, but yours were really exciting to watch. Now, let's get into how you started. Now, growing up, you grew up in Louisiana, correct?
Yep.
Did you get into a lot of fights as a kid?
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, because I read that you said that you were the toughest kid in your trailer park. You actually grew up in an actual trailer park?
For a little while, not long, I didn't grow up in a trailer park.
Okay, but you grew up with your grandma, correct?
Yeah, my grandma and my mom, but I'm still king of the trailer park, even though I didn't grow up in one.
Nice.
You just got a double wide now.
So now,
yeah, right, a fancy one.
But I was reading through some of your bio. You said that you and your dad used to watch ninja movies as a kid, and you wanted to be a ninja.
Me and my dad watch a lot of Jean-Claude Van Damme videos and or movies and stuff like that. Who doesn't want to be a ninja, man?
That's a good point. I do. I've always wanted to be a ninja. Yeah, it's true.
All right. Exactly.
Just probably for the Asian puss. I mean, just for that at least. Now, did you play sports as a kid, or I mean, what?
Yeah, you know, I played football and wrestled when I was really young. But football, yeah, and baseball when I was really young too. But
so
nothing in high school really.
So you went to high school, then you didn't graduate college. It says that you went to the School of Hard Knocks. So you went right from high school, then you decided to join a gym. Was it mostly a boxing gym? Was it an MMA gym, or what was your first?
It was a kickboxing gym actually, but and I found out about it by going to the boxing gym. I wanted to box, and I went to a gym, and the guys told me that they have some guys who do mixed martial arts who train their boxing on the weekends there. And I was like, no way, man. Where are these guys from or whatever? And they gave me the info, and I contacted those guys and started training with them. It was a kickboxing gym with judo and what we thought was jiu-jitsu.
Right. So then you did that, and then you – how old were you before you had your first fight?
I fought my first fight at 18.
So you're 18 years old, and then I was reading that you were 8-1 as an amateur – and then you won your first 9 fights by pretty much by like knockout, correct?
As an amateur?
No, as an amateur.
I'm not sure. No, man. As a pro, I went, I think 7-0, and then I got signed to WEC.
Yeah.
Yeah, but as an amateur, mostly knockouts. Yeah, for sure.
So you just nice. You're just knocking everyone out now. By the way, back to the whole like trailer park thing. Do you go for like kind of girls now? I know you're married, but were you hooking up with a lot of these like loose women on the trailer parks?
What is this, the Howard Stern show?
No, I'm just wondering. Hopefully one day. But I mean, is that because I know that I've been to like I do a lot of shows all around America, and some of those trailer park girls are the most fun girls. Like they definitely, you know, give some sweet oral. So is that?
No, man, I'm a happily married man.
That's good. You're a happily married man. Your wife is very cute, by the way. I looked
Thanks,
at pictures.
Man.
You have a very, very, very cute wife. All right, so let's
that sounds so creepy. I was looking at pictures.
No,
of your
I
wife.
Mean I was not looking at pictures. Of your wife. I was like
I was up all night last night looking at pictures. Of your
yeah.
Wife.
I didn't even know you were a fighter. I just been whacking off to you. All right, so listen. Now let's. I was looking at some of your fights, man. Let's talk about the Korean Zombie fight. That was one of the. That was an amazing fight. What would you take us through that fight? What would you have done differently, knowing what you know now? Back then, what was it like fighting the Korean Zombie?
I wouldn't have shot ridiculous double leg takedowns with no technique. I would have stuck to my game plan a little better, but you know, you live and learn.
Yeah, it was a badass. Now, were you surprised that he was able to kind of take some of your? Because like I remember in the, I think it was the fourth round, you were winging some shots. Were you surprised at how good his chin was?
No, I expected that. You know, that's how he fights, man. He absorbs a lot of damage, and keeps walking forward. And we expected him to do that.
That's why he's called the zombie.
That's why he's called the zombie. But still,
exactly.
I mean, but you still hit him some pretty times. Now, some of the guys you fought, another guy, Cub Swanson. I watched that fight last night. That was another war. What would you do differently in that fight, looking back now?
I wouldn't have took it on 4 weeks' notice or 3 weeks' notice when he's been training for it for a long time, you know?
Yeah.
A guy got hurt. Dennis Seaver got hurt, and I filled in for him. Looking back on it now, if I can change anything, I would have a full camp, and I'd whip them silly.
Okay, all right. So you definitely. Now it seems that I remember in that first round, he hit you with an uppercut, Were you how shook were you in that that first round?
He hit me with an uppercut. No, I think something else hit me, and then the uppercut glanced me and kind of hurt me again. But I was definitely hurt, man.
Yeah,
I was. I recovered pretty quick. I think I might have snatched one of his legs or something. Maybe took him down. I don't remember really, but he definitely had me hurt.
It seems like the uppercut has been the one punch that your opponents have seemed to kind of have success on you. You know, I watched your Akira fight, your zombie fight, your Cub Swanson fight. Is that something that you're like working on?
You know, I'm always working on everything, but
yeah.
Zombie hit me with a good uppercut. You know, I don't know, man. It's just, I don't think I have any holes there. It's just fighting, you know, I've been hit with a couple good shots. I don't know. I don't think Akira hit me with any uppercuts. He hit me with like a short hook, but you know, of course, I mean, I'm working all the time on everything.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're killing it. I mean, your last fight with Akira, holy shit, that was, you know, it's cool because
he worked on his uppercut.
you didn't have to take that fight, and like you did, which shows a lot, because a lot of guys in your position wouldn't have taken that fight because it's sort of like a no win fight for you, because you're ranked so much higher than him.
But, you know, I thought about all that whenever they called me with the fight, but you know, they wanted me to fight him. Like, I didn't ask for that guy. So there must have been a reason they wanted me to fight the guy. And it was just a victim of circumstance, I guess, because everybody was booked up at the top of the division, and I didn't want to wait around forever. So I just took a fight, you know, to stay busy and to keep training and get some more experience. And it went well.
Now, was there a moment in that fight, though, in that first round when he seemed to have hurt you that you were like, shit, why did I take this fight?
No, I was thinking, don't get hit again. I wasn't worried about that.
Because
I'm a fighter, man, and that's what I do. If they call me with another fight, I'm probably take it right now, you know? So,
speaking of that,
I think I did the right thing.
Speaking of that, Conor McGregor called you a pee head. Now, after, I know I think your boy Cole is going to beat Conor McGregor. I like Cole Miller a lot, but let's say that Conor beats Cole. Is that a fight that you want next?
The UFC wants me to fight him, it seems like, because they're talking about it, you know, and so I guess that's going to happen. I would love to shut his mouth. You know, he has a big mouth, and I would love to get it, you know, to be the first to shut his mouth. But, you know, Cole's a veteran and a great fighter, and he has all the tools to beat the guy. But if he doesn't do it, you know, I'll definitely take it.
Okay, so let's say Conor McGregor's here right now. All right, what would you say to Conor McGregor?
I wouldn't say anything. I can show him better than I can tell him.
Oh, man. I know, but it's better for us to print stuff like that.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, I'm not a big shit talker, man.
I know.
I let my hands do the talking. I work hard, bro. And, you know, he can get it just like everybody else. Conor McGregor's going to be, you know, I'm going to cross his name off the hit list.
Nice. Well,
guy's got two fights, and he's, you know, talking about contender fights, you know, to see who's next in line. Guys, there's two fights in the UFC. I was like 4-0 or 5-0 in the UFC. You know, still fighting on undercards and stuff like that. So, you know, man, this guy means nothing to me. He's just going to be another victim.
Nice. So he can catch a beating just like anybody else.
Yeah.
I'll paint his back porch red.
Paint his back porch red? What does that even mean?
Oh, yeah.
With blood?
With his butt, man.
Oh, yeah, beat his butt.
Oh, I thought his actual back porch. I was like, I didn't know he had a back porch. I'm tired, man. I got this new job.
If he needs help with that too after the fight, I guess I can do. You know, if he actually has an actual back porch, he needs help. We can do that.
Paint his back porch red. I like that. Do you have any other cool sayings that you fucking? So meanwhile, I actually went to. But let's talk about Louisiana. When I was like 23, I went to Mardi Gras, and that Louisiana has the most corrupt police force I've ever seen in my entire life. They were just arresting people left and right and then asking them for money. Like, hey, you want to get out of jail? Like, have you ever seen a more corrupt police force than in Louisiana?
Man, you know, I'm sure there's some good ones and some bad ones out there in Louisiana, but, you know, stuff happens down there in New Orleans.
Yeah, it's crazy. And by the way, you guys are back to the Hornets, just so you know.
Yeah, not the Pelicans, right?
Yeah, not the Pelicans. That was an awful name.
That was the dumbest change.
I'm not a big basketball fan. You know, I don't really follow NBA that much, but I'll probably get beat up here in South Florida saying that with the heat and all that. So I don't tell anybody.
So who do you hang out with back at American Top Team? Is it you, Lombard, Woodley, Cole? Who's like the crew?
You know what? I kind of have a small crew. When I'm at the gym, I hang out with everybody. Everybody's really cool there, man. Great group of guys. But mostly I hang out with Will Brooks, Bellator champ, and Mike Brown.
Oh, nice.
And my wife hangs with their girlfriends and stuff, so we're all cool.
So who gets the most tail out of everybody at the American Top Team? Is it Hector Lombard? Because we hear it's Hector Lombard. But then I've ran into a lot of women that say Cole Miller like is like one of these guys. He's like the guy that like – is it? Who is it? Is it Cole or Hector?
I don't know, bro. I have no idea.
I don't believe that. All right.
I have no idea.
All right. Now your fight with your fight with Diego Brandano, right? That was a crazy fight. Talk about it. Now, what was he saying to you before the fight during the weigh-ins?
Oh, we were in line for ready to, like, you know, in fight order to walk out the curtain and go weigh in and all that. And then he was in front of me and he turns around and just like looks like he was going to tell me something normal. His face like a, you know, it was normal, and then all of a sudden his eyebrows just like turned into an angry face, you know, and he just starts yelling and all kind of stuff, and he's like, I'll cut your neck, you want to keep staring at me? And I'm like, dude, I'm gonna whip you tomorrow. That's it.
And then what did he say afterwards,
after the fight?
Yeah,
nothing. I went to his locker room after the fight. He was laying down on the ground, his coaches were in there, and he was like, he shook my hand and I think he said, let's have a beer or something like that.
Oh, nice.
And he said, you're a true top contender or something like that. And that was it. And then a week or two later, he starts talking crap on the internet and stuff, man. I don't know. These guys are soft, man. All these guys are, they're soft. They talk a lot, but you know, man, I just work and I come prepared to fight and, just go out there and do it. All these guys on the internet talking crap and man, I don't like all that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, well, a lot of it is, I think, is, how much do you think is actually for show and how much is real?
I don't know. It's tough to say but it's probably all for show, you know? I mean, it's working for these guys.
Right.
Chael Sonnen fights 3 or 4 title fights back, you know, almost back-to-back from running his mouth, and now Conor McGregor is up in the top talk. He only has 2 fights, but he runs his mouth, so it works for guys, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm sure a lot of it has to do with, like, teammates, too. Like, after Brandao lost and he was, like, being cool with you in the locker room, after he got back home, people were, like, talking smack about you or whatever and hyped him up to start talking like that. Like,
I think some of these guys are also bipolar, you know, depending on, like, what mood they're in.
Right.
I mean, you got to think of what you guys do for a living. You guys walk into a cage and fight each other for a living and you get paid for it, which is not exactly the most, you know, sane occupation. You guys are trained killers. So, you know, to expect everybody to be all like, you know, just
normal,
totally cordial. It's just, you know, a lot of guys aren't like that. Now, have you ever been arrested or, I mean, what was your background like?
I've been arrested a bunch of times, mostly when I was a juvenile, you know.
For what?
Not too much as an adult.
For like fighting or?
fighting, being out past curfew, you know, being out really late when I was really young. Truancy for not going to school, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, no, like murder or anything.
Right, yeah, that wasn't the case they gave me.
Now, where did, now?
That's funny.
Murder was the case that they gave.
Now where did you meet this, like, now this cute wife you have? Where did you meet her? How did you woo her?
Middle school, man. I've been together with my wife since middle school.
Wow.
Yeah, maybe like 11 years now or something, but we've been married for 5.
Wow. Did you ever graduate middle school or no?
He was just hanging out there.
No, man. I went from middle school straight to my doctorate of Hard Knocks.
Nice. Did you ever go to high school?
I went to the 9th grade for a little while, man, and I just didn't like it, so I stopped.
Wow. So,
man that does what he likes.
Now, did your wife graduate high school or no?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay. So, I mean, her dating you since middle school, I'm sure her friends are probably like, hey, maybe this guy doesn't have much of a future. He like, couldn't get past eighth grade. I mean, the fact that she stuck with you says a lot about her, right?
Yeah, for sure, man. She's awesome. And even when she was in school, like, I went to juvenile detention and boot camp for a little while, court-ordered boot camp, and she wrote me letters and stuff like that. So even though I wasn't even around, and her friends, I'm sure, were saying stuff like that, you know, she still was still living it 100% with me, so...
Nice. You know. That's awesome. I mean, and it's good that everything paid out for you, because now does she go back and, like, to her friends, you told me to like, not be with him, but look at him now. He's beating up Brazilians on TV.
I hope so.
And beating up Brazilians when he gets home, too, probably.
Yeah, right. Now, do you guys have any kids or no?
Nah, no kids, man. Hmm.
Wow. All right. Well, anything.
But it's gonna. We will have kids. It's just, you know, a lot of travel and a lot of fighting and stuff right now, and you know, I'm trying to do stuff right. Right. Gotta have a plan.
Now we have a couple questions from the underground, which is ask Poirier. This is from Dark Knight, 4527. He wants to know if you spar with Daniel Strauss at AT&T, and who are the up and comers at the gym we should look out for.
Yeah, I spar with Daniel Strauss all the time, man. He's always in the gym, good wrestler. So me and him always, you know, and he's in the group of guys around my weight. We usually, you know, train multiple times a week. So yeah, I spar with him and train with him every week. And right now, big up and comers from our gym. One of them's already in the UFC. A couple guys I can think of right now, off the top of my head, is Mursad Bektik. He fought in Orlando, made his UFC debut. Real talented, hardworking young guy. Another one is Colby Covington, a welterweight, you know, collegiate wrestler, and he's another hard worker and a guy I think is going to go somewhere.
Nice. And then from James Vagabond wants to know about Tim Credor's gun and weed charge. If you'd like to indulge yourself in you're in the squeak green goddess yourselves, and ask him if Tim drives around listening to 90s gangster rap, pointing his Glock out the sunroof.
Oh, man. Oh, dude. Yeah, you know. Man, what movie was it when Will Ferrell had the gun and or the knife and the chains and stuff? That's the image I get whenever you talk about Tim and doing that.
Really?
Yeah, no. Nah, Anchorman? Not like that at all, man. He had, I think, some residue in his ashtray. And, you know, he's in the military, and he has the right to carry a gun. Not just because he's in the military, because it's all right. And in Louisiana, you can have a gun in your vehicle and stuff like that. So, you know, I think he just got pulled over and he had his gun and the weed and, you know, or the residue or roach or something in his ashtray. And then they blew it up and made it seem a big deal, but it wasn't anything. He didn't even go to jail for it.
Okay. All right. So it was all just a big misunderstanding when a guy
got kind of weed. No, I don't smoke.
Oh, you don't smoke? All right. So, man, it sounds like you really got your life together, man. A guy from came up, he got arrested, he was fighting, didn't graduate to eighth grade, or just ninth, or like the ninth grade, and now you got a wife and a house, and you're living in Florida, and you're training with great guys, and you're a family man. Sounds like things are going well for you, man.
Things are looking up.
Yeah, man, for sure.
So, all right, so if, you think Cole is going to beat Conor McGregor, though, correct?
You know, I think it's a tough matchup for both guys. They're both dangerous, but Cole definitely has the tools to do it. I know Connor's been submitted a couple times in his career, and you know, Cole's obviously, jiu-jitsu is great. He's real long and awkward for that weight class. You know, Cole's like 6'1" or something, man, maybe taller. So we'll see.
So let's say Cole wins. Who do you want to fight next? Would you want to fight Aldo or Mendez or?
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the goal, man, is to go in there and take whoever has the belt. But we'll see what the UFC does, man. There's a lot of big fights in my weight class coming up in July, and that's kind of what they want me to wait and see how it plays out.
Cool.
Well, so I'm just going to continue to train, man, and that's about it. Just train and enjoy it.
Nice. Well, where can people find you on Twitter?
On Twitter, it's my name, Dustin Poirier. Same thing on Instagram and Facebook and all that.
Well, thank you, Dustin. Thanks for coming on our show, man. I really appreciate it.
No problem, bro.
All right, man.
Take care.
All right.
Later.
All right, that was Dustin Poirier. You know, man, a few words, but he's a badass fighter.
No nonsense.
Yeah, yeah, that guy, what you see is what you get. And, yeah. He seems like a good dude.
He does.
Yeah. What do you think? I would love to see him and Conor McGregor fight. I hope Cole beats Conor, but if he doesn't, him and Poirier and McGregor would be a war.
I want McGregor to get destroyed no matter who he fights, just to humble him up a little bit, just to give him a slice of humble pie to him.
Which he will. I think almost everybody does. There's not a fighter out there who has not been humbled in some form. Or a comedian, actually. Our next guest was the winner of the Ultimate Fighter Team Nations. He's got a 9-0 record, perfect record.
Nice.
Good-looking guy. he has great hair. Elias, how are you, man?
I'm pretty fantastic. Thanks for having me.
I'm pretty fantastic. My hair is amazing.
Yeah, you do have amazing hair, by the way.
I appreciate that. I'm kind of picking up the torch where Ken Flo left off.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Now, it's one of those things where, like, you know, I look at certain people and I'm like, this guy's a fighter. You know, I look at, like, a Keith Jardine and I go, that's the look of a fighter right there. Other guys, I look at you. You're a good-looking guy. You used to be a model, a stuntman.
Still am.
You're on the cover of 6 romance novels.
Eight. But it's neither here nor there.
Eight. What the hell are you doing fighting, man?
It's what I love to do. I would argue if looks could kill, they probably will. Someone once said to me, like, what's called, I can do anything I want, and it's kind of a dangerous thing that I want to do this. Like, I can do anything I want, and there's nothing more than I'd rather be doing.
But you got your advertising degree in college, correct?
Yeah, I got a BA, and I'm a huge believer that knowledge is power, and I got that degree just to kind of something to fall back on. But like I said, I wouldn't be doing anything else.
So when did you start training and fighting?
After my first year of university, I'm a huge believer that knowledge is power. So when I finished my first year of kind of like enlightening the mind, I did for the body, and that's what brought me to martial arts.
Are you a huge believer in knowledge is power?
No.
Okay.
Cheesy cash raises, but that's neither here nor there.
Now you know, and knowing is half the battle.
Yes. I mean, you were 19 years. Wait, so you didn't start doing anything until 19 years old?
Yeah. Give or take.
That's amazing. And how old are you now?
I'm about to turn 26.
That's amazing. I mean, in 7 years, you've become the Ultimate Fighter champion. That's a lot about you.
It's pretty cool. It's honestly a really cool thing. Like, I've only been pro for 2 years, so I've had, technically, just to correct you, under the UFC's eyes, I'm 10-0, right? Like, the semifinals now, they do count them under their record, kind of the beep of everyone's record, in the sense that some guys come in there as, like, 4-0, 3-0, so going into the UFC, they kind of, doesn't look that, isn't that what's called intimidating, I guess? So, under the UFC's eyes, I'm 10-0.
Sorry, I will never make that mistake.
No, what's called Sure Dog counted differently. It's just confusing.
Now, it was one of the funniest things, though. You're in the finale. You're pounding this guy who came out really hard, and you're pounding him, and then you look up and you say, "Hi, Mom."
I know.
And then continue to pound him. Now, what? First of all, what did your mom say to this?
Well, she thought I was kind of a jerk. What's it called? She thought it was adorable, but she just felt bad for poor Sheldon.
So, I mean, now, did you know going into that, like, hey, if I have him down, I'm going to yell, "Hi, Mom"? I mean, you looked right at the right camera, too. It wasn't even like you...
Yeah. What's it called? Honestly, I got like 5 or 6 different like ridiculous things I plan on doing, and it's not like I'm going to force them every single time, but there's that's number awesome. One. Like, I don't know, like anyone that's been in a fight or any type of competition and knows when you kind of break someone. So at that point, I pretty much broke my opponent, and I was literally already anticipating the fact that I'm going to win. And this is the biggest competition on the biggest stage and a dream of mine that I've always wanted to do. So I just got, honestly, I'm a really goofy kid and I'm a silly, silly man. So I knew that the win was coming. So boom, hi, Mom.
Oh, it was, the internet blew up when you did that, awesome. By the way. The whole Twitter feed was hilarious. I mean, it's like you win, and then you start doing, then you go, "How's my hair?" afterwards.
It was a couple of silly things in the works, and it kind of just, honestly, I don't know, don't know how to explain it other than certain things kind of just aligned and silliness ensued.
Now, how much Canadian tail did you get afterwards?
What's it called? Both before and after have been pretty fantastic. But now I've been able to really enjoy the fact that I got some free time, man. A month of just debauchery and good times. I recently actually just came back from Regina. I don't know if any of you have ever heard of it.
Regina. I go to Regina every time I get a chance.
Yes. You both, my friend. Well, I went there on the behalf of the UFC for like the UFC experience tour that they just kicked off. So it's called all the professionalism. There was some time to I don't know if you guys have Instagram, but you can check out. I put a bride, celebrating the bachelor party on my shoulder. And let's just say I kind of, had some fun, and she had some fun before the night's end.
Wait, so you had sex with a bride before
I didn't say
wedding?
Anything. I didn't say that.
I
had sex with her. Yeah, it may have been her face. Who knows? It's either here or there.
Wait, it may have been in her face. Wait, so you got oral sex from a bride before she got married?
All I'm saying is, there was a bridesmaid, and she is on my shoulders.
Was she facing you, facing away from you, or facing you?
In the picture, we're both looking the same direction. But
for the cameras.
The funny thing is, I actually went home with a bridesmaid. So.
Oh, nice. Well, you know.
That's good times. That's what I'm
going to
say. Vagina.
Hurrah. Wait. I don't understand this whole thing. Vagina. What are you talking about?
Regina.
Regina. Where is it?
Regina. Yeah. It's a city in the province of Saskatchewan in Canada.
Looks like it's spelled Regina.
And have you been there?
Have I been there?
Yeah. No, this was my first time.
First time. So, okay. So since the Ultimate Fighter ended, you've slept with what, 50 girls?
I don't have that much time, but let's just say things have been great.
Wow, man.
I got shit to do today.
Wow, that's crazy. So, I mean, but like when you were a model and you're on the cover of 8 romance novels, how often do you get recognized?
Yeah.
How often do you get recognized for that?
That was true?
It's true. Yeah, it's true. What's it called? Harley Quinn. What ends up happening is with that, it depends on who is reading them. There are plenty,
older housewives.
Mature ladies, yes, rubbing off one to my face.
Oh my God. Are you like the, you're like the Canadian Fabio.
He is. Canadian Fabio.
2.0. Fabio 2.0.
So before, all right, so you were a model before, now you're on The Ultimate Fighter, now you're just on a whole tear right now. It's been 30 women since then. It was a bride. It was a bridesmaid.
I could just throw that number out. Let's pass. I'm gonna go with it.
You gotta give us the numbers, or we're gonna make them up.
Yeah, it was a bride. Exactly, T-Rex. It was a bridesmaid last week. Now, are you training at all, or are you just like retiring?
Just pounding tail.
What was that? What was the last part?
Are you retiring? Is that it? Is this it?
Yeah. With the belt.
I mean, are you training over at a TriStar?
I've been there every once in a while, and truth be told, in the next little bit, we're kind of like working on it because like I'm at the kind of point where like there are a lot of great fighters in Canada and especially in Ontario, 170 and under. There are a lot of lighter guys that are just, there's a huge talent, but in regards to the upper echelons and weight, there's not too many guys that keep me on it, smack me around. I need the feeling of losing more often than not. So there's actually some really good individual training partners in regards to, like, I'm going to start going to, like, the university as well for wrestling. And there's a couple other what's called wrestling groups around. And then also I'm going to start training with Simon Marcus, who's what's called the world heavyweight Muay Thai champion, and also Bazooka Joe, it looks like, too, who's in Glory. So those are some guys that kick the crap out of me. But I'm planning to actually put it all together soon enough, actually in TriStar every other week.
Are you thinking about possibly going to America and joining like an American top team or a Black Zillion or one of those teams?
My coach, one of my longtime coaches, is actually Sergio Cunyan from Shooterbox. So I've trained out in Team Noguera, X-Gym, BTT down there. And there's a couple cool things that are in the work. I might be working with Little Nog, getting ready for his next fight with Vance Johnson. So that could be a really cool thing. So There's a lot of cool things in the work, and kind of like where I am now in regards to my career, I can kind of, I don't know, like interest people to either have me out there or come out here, and there's options. That's the cool thing about where I am now.
All right, back to the slaying box. this is getting boring. I don't care about
slaying box.
I don't care about Little Nog. I want to hear about your Saskatchewan fucking trip. Now, what's the goal here? Are you thinking about like, okay, this is my name's Elias. I was a model. I was a this or that. Now I'm a fighter. Are you trying to become an actor now, and then possibly the like?
Well, I dabble in some acting. I actually have what's about two like Netflix movies and like a bunch of what's it called stunt credits under my name. Like I've been on many like local TV shows and national TV shows and here in Canada. The thing is, what's it called? I even like passed up on what's it called some roles on Godzilla and RoboCop. Fighting comes first. It's my passion, to be completely honest. The way I look at it, like it really has a shelf life, right? So I want to squeeze this lemon for all it's worth, and then I can go on to the movies.
Wait, you passed up on Godzilla?
Yeah, what's called? I did stunt work with a stunt coordinator that kind of like basically said that I had the opportunity to come down and do some of the filming up in Vancouver. But I was getting ready for my second belt. I was fighting for, I think it was my eighth fight up in NAFFS for that belt, for the middleweight belt, and that was more important, man. So actually, that fight, I just picked up the guy and threw him profusely until he broke his sternum. And
quit. My God.
Yeah, I got two, both my belts. I have two belts from different organizations, and both of them are from picking someone up and slamming them until they break their ribs.
Oh, man. So how many girls are sending you pictures of them right now?
Oh, well, what are they sending? Like, how many boxes, how many tits, how many what? What are we asking here? Or just collectively, in general?
Do you have, like, different folders, like, for chicks that, like...
Yeah, different folders, yeah. Well, I'm like the UN. I'll let anyone in, right? So...
That's going to be, by the way, the thread to our thing. I'm like the UN. I mean, are you worried about getting girls pregnant or getting, you know, HIV or getting herpes?
Safety first. I just come out of a scuba suit and we're all good.
Okay, all right, that's good. Yeah, I don't want to see you pull like a Tommy gun or something, you know?
I actually have a very inappropriate joke that I usually say about pregnancy, but neither here nor there.
Let's hear it.
What?
Let's hear it.
Let's hear the joke.
This is the place to tell it.
I'm Greek. You can't get him pregnant from the bum.
That wasn't that inappropriate.
Yeah, that wasn't inappropriate.
That's actually true, though.
It's science. You can't go wrong with science.
It's true. Is that your thing, though? Mostly, like, you like doing girls from behind?
No. Oh, I'm just joking around. Yeah. But the Greek does come out of me as well. I call it that, getting Greeked. But neither here nor there.
Now, how many Canadian ring girls have you gone through?
quite a
few.
Shit, there's a Freudian slip. Let's just say I've been very privileged in many ways.
Oh my God.
And what I'm trying to say is I can't remember. I can't count. That's like, what I'm trying to say.
He's like Caligula.
Oh my God.
Exactly.
Man. I like hate you and admire you at the same time, man.
I got pictures. I can share pictures. Oh. But afterwards. Not right now. We won't blow those up.
Absolutely.
I got even cool. I got some cool stories. And you know what the funny thing is? Me and my brother look exactly the same. So what's it called? There have been a couple of girls that may or may not believe they notched off a twin on their belt. Twins on their belt.
That's hilarious.
So who gets more chicks, you? who has the Canadian belt as far as you or Patrick Côté as far as how many chicks?
Oh, he's a handsome man, my friend. He is a handsome man.
Yeah, because I hear he just gets like, it's just ridiculous.
He's honestly like, well, me and Pat actually hit it off really well on the show. We went together to Thailand for what's it called, about a better part of a month or two.
Four, and
to train for our fights coming up. And man, Thailand was a good time. That's all I'm going to say.
Jesus.
Oh my God.
Yeah, me and Adam go on the road. We don't. We just see the hotel lobby.
We got like Thai boys. we got. This is ridiculous, man. Do you guys need like a road manager or something?
That's right. Someone to hold pads.
I'll be like, I'll like hold your spit bucket or whatever it is. Well, listen, man. I've heard a lot of. This is great, man. This has been. Trust me, this is a lot different than our first interview. And
Different's good, man.
Different's good, man. We definitely want to have you on anytime. You are. Congratulations on all your success. Keep it up.
Congratulations on all your box.
Yeah, keep it up, man.
Thank you both, gentlemen. Thank you both. But in all seriousness, it was a real pleasure chatting with you. But like honestly, like training comes first, and I'm actually putting into debauchery, like you said, my 50 or 70 or whatever the number is. Since winning the Ultimate Fighter, that's going to be on the back burner because if all goes well, I'll be fighting ACC September 27th.
Oh, nice, September 27th. Okay, cool. And now, who do you want to fight next?
I called out Ed Herman, but it looks like he injured his hand, which I hope he gets like a speedy recovery. So at this point, honestly, whoever the UFC puts in front of me, I'm just going to do what I always do, knock him down.
Right. Nice. Yeah, you will, man.
Slam him till the sternum caves in.
We got to think of a better.
Yeah, and then see what their girlfriend's up to. That actually happened to me once, by the way. My second fight, it was so weird. So basically, I like cut the guy open, gave him like 40 stitches, and choked him out like a stuffed pig. And the next day, me and my brother were with this chick or two, and she just came up to me. This girl came up to me and was just like, "Hey, saw your fight last night." I was like, "Oh, cool, thanks." And she's like, "You were really good." And I was like, "Thanks so much." She was, "Yeah, that was my fiance you fought." And I was like, "Oh." She's like, "Yeah, you want to get a drink?"
Oh, wow.
And I was like, "Sure." Oh, no. And I don't know. I don't think they're married anymore.
Wow.
Oh, my God. The marriage wrecker.
That's crazy. So
you're a home wrecker.
So you caused Tito's.
No, there was no kids. I don't think it actually was a home. So it's not technically a home wrecker.
So wait. So you caused Tito Ortiz's breakup, is what you're saying?
Yeah, something like that.
Nice. Well, congratulations on all your box and all the. All the chicks that you've been going through, man. This is good. This
allegedly.
All right. Now, where can people find you on Twitter?
Okay. You can find me on at Elias Theodoro on Twitter, and then also at Elias UFC on Instagram. Some of the ladies, or even some of the gentlemen listening, there are plenty of shirtless pictures there, so that's what's up.
All right. Well, you are a very humble guy. And
something like that.
All right. I'm
just putting it on for you, man.
I know.
A blast.
Thanks a lot, Elias. Take care. Good luck with everything.
Later, man.
Thanks, bro.
All right.
Cheers.
Peace.
That dude is hilarious.
So I love that guy.
That guy's my new hero. How funny is that guy?
He's the man. It sounds like he's the man.
All right. So there was some crazy fights this week. We got to get to them. Got to talk about the fights that happened. TJ Dillashaw.
Amazing.
Man, you know what? And we sort of called it. I mean, we did call Barao winning, but we did say that, like, he's a huge. If I was going to bet, I would bet on, and I did bet TJ. I bet with this kid Adam Martin that TJ was going to win, and he won. You know what? It wasn't that surprising because you see where this kid comes from. He works his ass off. He's one of these guys that is not the most naturally gifted, talented guy, so he makes up for it with his work ethic, and it just shows. You know,
with his work ethic. And under the tutelage of Dwayne Bang. No, he looked amazing. Like I told you on the phone, we were talking. I told my wife, like, within the first minute of that fight, I said that that Barao was in trouble.
Yeah, he was so relaxed, TJ.
Dude, he was just so light on his feet and dancing around. And it was like, that was the most masterful display of fighting that I think I've seen in
quite a
long time. I mean, there was, like, no holes in his game. There was nothing I could say negative. I can't say, like, yeah, he was dynamite, but there was no buts.
No, he looked great. I mean, it was a huge victory for the Hobbits everywhere. And, It was awesome. You know, it's funny. I actually said, I wrote a tweet. I said at the after party, Team Alpha Male was having a good time. And then someone asked Uriah, "How you doing?" He gave the thumbs up. And then Herb Dean stopped the party. And Uriah retweeted. I got like over 300 retweets.
Nice.
But there's a picture right now going around the internet of the team celebrating. And Uriah is in the corner who looks angry. And someone, people were tweeting me like, "Huh." And I like know Uriah. I'm friends with him. I tweeted him, like, texted him, like, "Great job, thank you." I sort of wanted to retweet it, but I'm like, you know. But then Hector Lombard retweets it, like, "Uriah, why you no look happy?
Why you no look happy?"
So it's like, he goes, happy times. Why are you? I look so sad. I was like, oh, dude, so funny. But that's a big thing. It's like, so Dwayne Ludwig is going to Colorado to open up his own academy, which I said that now.
Slash dispensary.
Yeah. Millions of badass Smurfs just invaded Colorado, which Dwayne actually texted me, keep making fun of me. He loves it. Funny. But he goes to Colorado. He said, supposedly I read that he said that he will continue to train TJ Dillashaw, and he thinks TJ should fight Uriah, and he would corner TJ.
Wow. Now, so is there some bad blood?
I don't know. I don't know if there's bad blood, but I do know that when we asked TJ, would he fight Uriah Faber, and TJ said, yeah, if I had to. And, you know, I got to think, if I'm Uriah Faber, Uriah Faber's a competitive guy. He's not one of these guys that like, oh, I'm happy to be there. He's a winner. They're both, yeah. Obviously, they're both winners. Uriah's had tough times in title fights, but not in the WEC. He was a champion forever over there, but he's like, what, 0-5, I think, in title fights?
Jeez.
And it's sort of, I'm sure, I don't know who gets the best of who in practice. It's probably pretty damn competitive between Uriah and TJ. And I'm sure there's a part of Uriah right now that's like, man, I want that belt. And I'm not saying it's a mean-spirited card, or it's just the nature of the sport. It's not a team sport. It's an individual sport.
Absolutely.
And they're in the same weight class. And would I love to see that fight? Sure. I would love to see that fight. I don't know if it's going to happen. I think that Dominic Cruz is probably next in line. And I think it's a rough fight for Cruz because he's taken so much time off.
If Cruz fights Dillashaw, Cruz is in trouble. If
is he, though? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he is. If Dillashaw shows up like he did for Hannah Burrell, I think he'd be trouble for anybody.
And but the thing about that is that's why I believe that the UFC needs tune-up fights. I don't know if they're ever going to have it, because why, it would make no sense for the number one guy to fight the 15 guy. But it's just not fair to put a guy in who's taken 2 years off against a guy who's so active. It's sort of they're in a tough situation there. So anyway, that was that. But now, you know, it's funny that people say Brazilians make excuses except for Glover. But I guess Andre Pedernales said that he wrote something on Facebook saying that that Burrell was sick and the UFC made
blah,
him fight
blah, blah.
And this and that. Yeah, but if he goes out and knocks him out in one round, is he writing that?
No.
No. He's not saying we won even though he was sick. They're just taking the win. So look, after a fight, excuses or not, it's not going to be like, oh, he was sick. Now, no, that's what happened. No, everybody loses. And if he was sick, he shouldn't have fought. You know, it's just just my personal opinion. I have to think, if I'm Dana White, I'm actually pretty stoked that Dillashaw won, because he's an easier guy to market, in my personal, humble, stupid opinion. And I've been wrong before, but I have to think, a guy like Burrell, who's won 32 fights in a row, and still people don't know who he is, right? Versus, doesn't speak English, isn't the greatest looking guy in the world. Let's call a spade a spade. I'm sure women find him attractive.
Well, I wouldn't call him a spade, but.
Yeah. Let's call him Jack of Fours, whatever. Four of Hearts, whatever it is. You get what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
Versus TJ Dillashaw, good looking, all American kid.
Well, I would say he's good looking.
I could see women. I could see women going for him other than Burrell.
Elias or Elias.
Yeah, he's not an Elias Theodore. But yeah. So a Theodoro. So anyway, so that's that. I do like the fact that when TJ Dillashaw got announced, they said monkey style. I think that should be like the new thing. I mean, really, first of all, the on the whole card, the nicknames were hilarious. Like Vince from Hell Pinchel. There was a guy named The Model.
Now
The Model. I mean, you go from the axe murderer to The Model, really? And now Chris Hold It Down Holdsworth.
Oh,
really, Hold It Down?
How about Keep It Down, buddy?
Hold It Down sounds like what I do to my girl when I'm trying to get head. No, I'm kidding. I've never held it down. No, but I'm saying, so. Hold It Down, The Model, whatever happened to the axe murderer,
right?
Or like The Monster? Are we really starting getting, anyway, so but monkey style, I'm all for. I think we should do like gorilla style and monkey style and
Gangnam style.
Just do all kinds of stuff like that. So DC versus Hendo.
Wow.
Looked like my dad throwing me around when I was four.
Jeez.
Because my dad was black. No, I'm kidding. But DC versus Hendo was one of the honestly, I haven't seen Hendo get thrown like that since he fell off Noah's Ark. I'm a big Dan Henderson fan. I'm a huge DC fan. But you just saw a guy in his prime at the highest level. And when I talk, I have so much respect for Daniel Cormier. I can't say it enough. If you don't know what this guy's been through, I'll say it again. I'm beating a dead horse. I'm sorry. But his father was murdered when he was 7. His daughter died. He's had a tough-ass life. He came second in the Nationals against Cale Sanderson. The guy's lived through so much. Two-time Olympian. Second time he was on the Olympic team. His ribs gave out from eating too much weight. His kidneys failed. He couldn't make a team. He almost died. This guy's been through all this shit. So it's so nice to see a guy finally get his just due.
He's catching a break, but it's after he's busting his ass like a champ.
Yeah, and the weight class he wants to be in, he's with his best friend, Cain right. Velasquez, so he has to go down. And you look at that, this is the weight class he should be in. I'm happy he's with Cain, because as a heavyweight, I don't see him as dominant as he's going to be at 205.
Right.
He was still dominant. You look at the guys he's beaten, the Frank Mirs and the Josh Barnetts and the and all, you know,
Roy,
Dan
Roy
Henderson
Nelson.
Now and the Roy Nelsons and the Bigfoot Silvas. I mean,
he's beaten a literal who's who.
So are the Hulk. I mean, he's beaten all of them. I mean, and he's never lost. I don't think the guy's not lost one round in MMA yet. He's not lost. You could argue maybe he lost he's not lost one round. That's how good this guy is.
100% takedown defense. No one's ever taken him down.
And I think he could be a 185 pounder. I think he could be a 125 pounder. I think if John
he alpha male.
He looks like John Dodson if Dodson was like obese. Is what Cormier looks like. But I got nothing but respect for DC. And you know what? I don't think the UFC is doing enough to promote this guy. Because yeah. If you put the Daniel Cormier story on the Lifetime Network, it'd be the number one fucking movie. And if you put it on NBC or Fox, or you put Daniel Cormier should have a documentary that should be aired once a week for people to get inspired.
Hell yeah.
And he's the nicest human being. I'm sorry that I'm blowing him on the air, but I'm telling you, the guy is, I got nothing. When I met Daniel Cormier at the award show, the guy went out of his way to tell me how much he enjoyed my work, blah, blah, blah. And then he wanted my girlfriend to take a picture of him, and he was scared of my girlfriend. He's like, hey, please don't get mad at me. Take a picture of me. Like, he was the most polite human being, and I was happy for him. I'm really happy for Daniel Cormier.
Yeah.
So, anyways, that's that.
And he did manhandle Dan. I mean, Henderson is no slouch either.
No, and Dan Henderson, though, says he wants to keep fighting, and I think that's a mistake. I do. The guy started fighting at UFC 17 BC, and I am a big Hendo fan. But you don't want to see the guy get hurt.
I don't think you can hurt him.
His last 2 out of 3 fights, he's been knocked out by Vitor Belfort. He's taken a billion shots by Shogun, and now he's been put to sleep, which is the earliest he slept, by the way. But I'm saying, or the latest he's been
latest.
Up. I screwed up my own joke.
But
you know what I meant. So yeah, the guy, honestly, you look at the amount of damage he's taken. You know, I don't want to see a guy like Dan Henderson lose his wits.
Right.
And that's going to happen if he keeps fighting. I'm sorry, it's going to happen. Hate to be the one to tell him that. I think he's made enough money. He's got enough money. Jake Ellenberger's fight. I wish Jake was here to talk
son
about
of
his
a
fight. That was rough to watch. It's tough when you're watching your friend who you know has worked so hard in something, in anything they do, not achieve their goal.
Right.
I'm not saying he didn't achieve his goal as a fighter or as a champion or, you know, he's made it this far, which is farther than, you know, which is almost like impossible, but his goal of beating Robbie Lawler, he didn't. I don't know. Personally, I think a camp like American Top Team, a Black Zillion,
AKA,
or Greg Jackson's camp would be good for him. Yeah. I think right now he's sort of doing this thing where he goes to Edmund for boxing, and he goes to Rain for wrestling, and he goes to Verdun for jiu-jitsu, and those are all great places. But I think if you have a more centralized camp,
like a one-stop shop,
you don't have to drive 3 hours here and 5 hours there and 2 hours there, and you have one guy. You have a sort of that team thing, and you could just focus. I think that would be good for Jake. Personally,
right.
I think that Jake also, you know, sometimes he gets in his head like everyone else, and you know, we'll talk about this when he's here. Though I'd rather talk to him than about him, but that was hard to watch, and I'm sure it's hard on Jake. Jake's a really guy, you know. He's a guy who's really hard.
He's
on himself.
He's a great guy,
and he's a great guy.
He's hard on himself.
One of my best friends, and that was tough. You know, it was like, you know,
yeah.
But he still almost won. He had Robbie hurt in the third. I think he broke his hand. I don't know.
Yeah, he had one little flurry where he put Robbie on his heels for a second.
Yeah.
I think he might have, I don't know the situation with his hand. I think he broke his hand possibly. And that really hindered his ability to do what he wanted to do.
We'll definitely talk about it. We'll talk about it. Jamie Varner. How tough is that guy?
God.
It looked like there were ghosts attacking him in the octagon when he was flopping around. Yeah, and
that was probably the grossest thing. I don't know why that was grossing me out. Like watching him.
I went home and watched Human Centipede to get that out of my head. I had to watch. It was that gross. Jamie Varner.
His foot was just dead.
I know a lot of people in the WEC days. Jamie Varner. I think when he fought Cerrone, were questioning his heart because. He didn't finish the fight. Something happened. You cannot question Jamie Varner's heart. That's the bottom line.
Anything breaks on me, the fight is over.
But at the same time, it's sort of if it breaks on my opponent, I'm done.
Ew! That'd be funny. Put someone's face like ew.
Yuck! Ew, get away from me, gross. Ew!
Come on, ref, he's touching me.
At the same time. I think it kind of took away from James Krause's victory because he was kicking him that hard to the point where he broke his ankle. And everyone was like, oh, Jamie Varner's got so much heart. But what about the guy who broke his ankle? Oh, yeah, broke his ankle. So it sort of was a weird situation. I'm happy Vince won. Our boy Vince Pichel.
Yeah.
You know, talk about a guy who works his ass off.
Yeah.
AAA. I actually, right. My car broke down over the way. I was going to call him after that. I'm like, I swear I was going to call him.
Shut up.
Yeah, I was going to do that. And the funny thing is that when Jake showed up, me and T-Rex were discussing, like, well, what do we do with Jake? We were going to talk about every fight but his.
Right.
With him there. And be like, all right, that was it. I thought that would kind of be funny. But so this was Michael Chiesa won.
Mikey.
He looked amazing.
He did.
I said even the crabs in his beard are tough.
Oh,
that's
my.
How I'm happy Mike won. Mike is a great dude.
Yeah.
Sam Cecilia won. I like that whole team of Chiesa, Sam Cecilia, Cody McKenzie, Juliana Pena. It's like American Bong team, and I like it. I like the whole team.
Is Matt Riddle over there too?
Matt Riddle, he should be over there. All right. So that being said, I think we covered our fights. I know what's name's fighting this week. It's going to be Mark Munoz is taking on Musasi from the UFC live from Germany.
That should be a pretty damn good fight,
Saturday
actually.
Night. I am picking Mark Munoz.
Yeah?
I am.
I would pick Mark Munoz as well. I think just to shake it up, though, I'm going to go with Musasi.
All right. That's that.
Back to Jake's fight against Lawler. Now it's being said that Lawler is going to be taking on Matt Brown.
Right, July.
Which is going to be a ridiculous fight. That's going to be a war.
It's going to be a war. I don't know who wins that fight. I'm
going with Matt Brown.
Really?
Yeah, I'm going with Matt Brown. I think he just has what it takes.
I know that since we have Matt Brown on the show, I want to pick him. But I don't know.
Robbie's just nasty.
Robbie Lawler is nasty. He's huge. He's peaked. He's hit his peak.
I thought he hit his peak like years ago.
Yeah.
And then to see him like this now, I'm like, I mean, this is dude. Here's like, a guy that, like he's born again.
Here's a guy that made Mayhem Miller beat. And Mayhem Miller was a great fighter, but Mayhem Miller beat him. He's a guy that Nick Diaz beat him. Jake Shields beat him, I think, in one round. Yeah, look at where he's come now.
Yeah, but he's just a completely different fighter now.
I'm that American Top Team, I think, was the best thing that happened to him. But I mean, the Robbie Lawler was the best thing that happened to Robbie Lawler. But Matt Brown versus Robbie Lawler, I don't know. Talk to me next week. I gotta think about this more. I'll tell you one thing. The UFC has this new show called Embedded. I don't know if you watched it.
Uh-huh.
They're putting out these like 6-minute videos before the fights, and there's six of them, and they're really good. It's like a behind the scenes thing. It's hilarious. You could see Hendo ordering Cormier chicken. It's all that stuff.
I thought it was funny, but I was slightly offended by the fact it was chicken.
No, because I think Cormier loves Popeyes.
He does.
It wasn't like he happens to be black like Popeyes. It wasn't like he ordered a random black guy chicken. I thought the watermelon was a little much.
Right. And the ribs.
And the ribs and the Tyler Perry movies. But so. Yeah.
Tyler.
And the fat white girl. I'm like, did you have to order a fat white chick?
Did you have to put the fat white chick to his room? That's funny.
So anyway, that is our show. Thank you, Dustin Poirier. Thank you, Elias, for coming on. Thank you, Ali Abdelaziz. Thank you, DJ Shrope.
Thank you, Fox Sports.
Thank you, Fox Sports. Thank you, T-Rex. Thank you to me.
Thank you, Adam Hunter.
You can follow us at MMA Roasted or at Adam Comedian. AdamHunter.com. This week I will be at the Improv Wednesday night. I will also be at the Inside Jokes Wednesday night. Next week I'm going to be in Edmonton, Canada, at the Comic Strip in Edmonton.
Very nice.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be this Friday coming up is my birthday, so I'm going to be partying in Hollywood, I believe. So I'm not going to be doing any jokes this weekend. I always do it that
just like every night you perform.
What a dick. Yeah, but yeah, follow me, Todd Rex, TODDREXX on Twitter and Facebook. And yeah, see you around. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.